Hi, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Total Retail Talks. In today's episode, Guido Campello, CEO and creative director of Cosabella, a women's intimates brand, talks about the technology and innovations in today's retail marketplace. All recorded live at this year's Total Retail Tech in Dallas. And now, on to the show.
Digital Destiny. We are a family-run, old-school fashion brand, 36 years. And we decided a few years ago to try to become a startup. That was our idea. Because old-school brands weren't as sexy as a startup. And so the steps we took, it was a long road, but a quick road. And we've taken some leaps and bounds. And I would say that now, if you look at the future of the brand, people are really seeing us much more as a direct-to-consumer brand while having some great placement already in the brick and mortars. So I think some of what was spoken about in the previous panel is what we like to see that we've already accomplished, which is we've stayed in brick and mortars. We do have a strong boutique business. We do have a wholesale.com business, but now we are direct-to-consumer. So we're getting a little bit of that best of both worlds. The problem is this. This is the problem. So in a family company, there isn't like one great leader with a lot of venture in the back. It's, you know, everybody's invested in it, and so there's a lot of emotion, and that's my family. Cousins, cousins' wives, everybody's in there. This is my mother and my sister, and this was our high-tech warehouse. And to show you how difficult it is to now be who we are, this is where we came from. And that warehouse actually caught fire. I was telling somebody this story yesterday. So, you know, these family businesses go through a lot of emotional difficulties, but overhead difficulties, obviously technology difficulties. But we've been able to get here and be able to kind of push forward. But the humble beginnings were definitely there for the brand, and we were able to grow organically. Now we are direct-to-consumer, 94 countries, wholesale, 74 countries. So we really do expand across. We have 4 offices, including 2 in Italy, 1 in New York, and 1 in Miami. And this is what made us very popular. Actually, what made us popular was the thong song. If you've ever seen that video, that's ours. We really worked with him on that. And it takes place in Miami for a reason, because that's where our company was founded. And that was the moment that Cosabella really shot up, because we created a category. We continue to evolve as a brand. This was one of the steps when celebrities were really big, and then now, obviously, influencers. This was at the beginning of influencers. Now it's evolved even more dramatically. But we've continued to follow where, let's say, the marketing challenges. But the biggest issue we had was internally, and we tried to really develop from being an old school brand that focused all its co-op to Neiman Marcus and, you know, Nordstrom's, to how do we invest in ourselves. So we had to figure out what was going on internally and where our money and budget was, and we weren't putting it towards our direct-to-consumer. So we actually merged our marketing teams, our IT, because that's the most data scientists we had, and our e-commerce team. And we took the budget from our wholesale. We had to take part of that and slowly build it until we could grow. But this was one of the biggest things, too. In 36 years, your brand evolves, it changes, you gotta tell a different story. When you have 4 seasons a year, 12 deliveries a year, you have to be able to stay consistent. So these are things that we had to ask ourselves, and I'll tell you where we're going now. And then the other thing was finding the right partners. We're not tech people. It's funny, because now we still have the same team as we did when we started, except now there's people who are very well versed with a lot of this technology. But when we started, I mean, if you ask me customer lifetime value, I'd tell you, like, I don't know, tomorrow, you know, we're going to keep them. I had no idea what the metrics meant, ROAS, all that good stuff. So one of the ways that we did that, which was the conversation we were having, which was AI, about 2.5 years ago, we went to our first tech conference, and we went as a team, and the sexiest thing everybody was talking about was AI. So we said, what is this? How do we get into this? How do we practice with it? And one of the things that we realized is that it was something we wanted to engage in, we had to engage in, whether or not it was really AI. A lot of people were selling it, but the way that we could do it was by, one of the ways that we could do it was by working with vendors. So we actually made ourselves a beta brand, we made ourselves case study, and it was the only way, honestly, we could afford it. But what we started realizing was that we could negotiate costs, and so I was able to convince my parents to allow us to start using some of that purse. And the biggest factor that we had with artificial intelligence was that we were able to take all this data we were receiving, We would normally get it from our stores, from our merchandisers and stores, but we were bringing it in house now with a consumer that we were reacting to, and we also weren't retailers. So we had to become technology experts, retailers, bring all of this up to speed without going in the red and without having any extra capital and still funding our collections and being creative. So AI would give us that support. So we put it into different parts of our .com efforts. Advertising, we had a company called Albert. It was AdGrythms at the time. We were one of the first to really drive them. Now they do actually quite a bit in our space. We got probably about 9 months worth of great data. In fact, right now, the item that we push the most, support the most, and really advertise the most, and is bringing us the most sales, was actually found through an error of their data crunching. We saw a blip that the artificial intelligence didn't go after, but we just saw these numbers and were able to cap these numbers because of the function of the dashboard, and then we manually went after it. So AI, even in its error, or it obviously wasn't AI, but in its error of what the data crunching was, we were able to discover something, honestly, I don't think we would have discovered otherwise. It opened our minds very quickly. The other thing was email automation. Again, small company, we are 54 people in our head office, and two are dedicated to emailing and building the emails and building the content. We needed that kind of support. We use Emarsys currently, and we've been looking at so many others that really have evolved. The biggest thing now is we need a really good dashboard, right? Something that's much easier. The difficult thing is building all of that stuff. But what we learned in the email was how to really refine. We have so many segments in our brand: maternity, extended, bridal, we have tween now. Our customer is changing always, and we used to only serve our customer in a specific demographic. Now we can serve her from 8 to 78. And how do we make sure that we're not emailing mothers of small children the wrong Valentine's Day ad? And then also if they're at work, or we have a lot of men who shop as well, and we want to make sure we don't target them at the wrong times with the wrong things. And especially now with the interaction with wives, spouses, and girlfriends, and so forth. A-B testing, this was another thing that for us was really hard. We are not a company that could spend that much time switching and changing the way that our site looked. And we have all those people who have opinions on what is beauty and what is aesthetic. But what the customer actually needed, we were able to A-B test our whole site. So everything that you're seeing was actually driven by AI A-B testing. It was allowing us to do a tremendous amount of variables, and that company was sentient. Problem is that our traffic wasn't big enough, but we bring them in and out as we need them or as we're redoing things. But I think for larger sites, being able to test things through seasons, through months, for a fashion brand, that's something that actually is really important, because you really should be changing all your elements consistently. And then product personalization. This is one of the things that we are really starting to get into. We're starting to take our store associates and bringing them to our digital team. We're launching styling. In fact, we already have the styling. We're launching subscription on our site. We're really launching our hard VIP program. And we're also taking emerging categories and creating many social groups. And that's all tied into then how we're personalizing on the site. This is something where we will dive back into AI on. We have a couple of leads of where we think that there's some opportunity. But there's some people we even spoke with today that I think there's incorporations that we can put that otherwise we couldn't do. And I think I'm running out of time. But our drive was to be able to go from being a wholesaler and really not a tech brand to being able to speak this language. And we're about 2.5 years into it. And we have tripled our direct-to-consumer since we really engaged and started.
Thanks for listening. For more information on this podcast, be sure to visit our podcast channel page at www.mytotalretail.com/podcast for show notes. Total Retail Talks is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher, but be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel page as well. Thanks, and until next time, this has been Total Retail Talks.